We're here today on the Innovative Ideas podcast with Dr. Richard Amerling, Director of Outpatient Dialysis and Continuous Renal Replacement Therapy at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City. Dr. Amerling has an extensive background in all aspects of consultative nephrology and has written extensively about healthcare economics and politics in articles that have been published by the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Investors Business Daily, National Review, Internal Medicine News, Dialysis Times, and the Nephrology News and Issues. Dr. Amerling, thank you very much for coming on board Innovative Ideas podcast.
My pleasure.
You've got a piece that we're going to be running on Medicare rationing and how it'll begin in January 2011. And you actually use as an example the impact that bundled payments system under the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are going to have on dialysis centers and on dialysis patients. Could you explain the impasse that the dialysis center is going to reach under the current regulations that affect the bundling of payments for dialysis and dialysis drugs and why that should be of concern for people who are watching healthcare reform move through Congress?
Absolutely. Let me just give you a quick historical review to put this in perspective. Medicare started funding end-stage renal disease care, i.e. dialysis, back in the early 70s. And it did so through an act of Congress, and the payment at that point was $140 per treatment per patient. Now, this included all of the components that go into dialysis treatment, including staff salaries, rental equipment, and all that stuff. Well, Congress then never adjusted this payment for inflation, and there's been obviously considerable inflation since then, so that the current dollar value in constant dollars is about $14 per treatment per patient. Well, how did dialysis units then not only survive but actually prosper over the years? Well, they cut costs aggressively, and one of the ways they did this was by adding extra shifts to patients. Another way was by going to nurse tenders, which we call technicians, to help with the treatment. Now, another way that they made ends meet was by making a profit on selling certain drugs. That in the late 80s, erythropoietin became available for treatment of anemia, and ultimately the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, agreed to fund payment for that. And they did it in such a way that the dialysis unit was able to generate a profit on use of that drug in the dialysis setting. Similarly, vitamin D analogs were used intravenously during treatment, and iron was given intravenously during treatment, and these also became profit centers for dialysis units. This is probably a good moment for me to just mention that I have received honoraria from some of the companies that manufacture these drugs, but my concern here with the bundling issue goes way beyond any potential financial impact that will have for me personally. So these drugs became a profit center for the dialysis unit, which is not good because it did lead to a certain tendency, I believe, to overprescribe some of these drugs. And CMS then had to move to change this to make it more neutral. So they decided to include the intravenous drugs given during dialysis in the bundled payment for treatment. Now, that was not necessarily a horrific idea, and I think that most dialysis units were quite prepared to deal with that. But then they also decided to include, at the last minute, drugs that are used orally as outpatients. And these include medications that are active on the bone and the parathyroid gland and also that reduce phosphorus in the food. These drugs can be quite expensive. Now, the payment that was suggested for all of this was around $200 with a little bit of a supplement for treatment for the extra drugs. Many analyses now have been done on these, and they show that this amount of money is simply not going to cover adequately all of the expenses that a lot of patients currently have for medication. In other words, it's imposing a rationing of certain medications for dialysis patients. It's going to be extremely hard for dialysis units who are suddenly now responsible for getting these drugs and then administering them to the patients to make a profit and stay in business using these expensive drugs. So they will very likely be curtailed.
Now, it seems to me that this is, you know, raises direct questions about what Congress is trying to do through the health reform bills currently and being considered and soon to be voted on in the House and the Senate. And one of the ideas is that there would be pilot programs to enhance productivity and pay for higher quality care. But I think people who've looked at the bills have said, really, it's not doing any of those smart high-tech things perhaps a lot of us would like to see done in healthcare. Instead, what we're just seeing are across-the-board cuts with the assumption that hospitals and perhaps dialysis centers are just going to eat them and then find somewhere some productivity gains to help them survive in this new environment. But I think that your analysis here suggests that's going to be the wrong approach, that because Medicare started out in the wrong place to begin with a flawed bundling formula, they keep going in the wrong direction here. Is that an accurate assessment of where we're at?
Exactly right. As Thomas Sowell said, you can't affect the cost of anything by controlling the price. They have just simply relied on price controls as a way to control costs. But you can't control costs by price controls. All you can do is control the payment for the services. But those services cost money, and the drugs cost money. So their plan to cut $500 billion for Medicare spending is going to impose severe hardship on Medicare beneficiaries, some of whom are patients on dialysis. And these are extremely vulnerable patients, probably the most vulnerable patient population in the country right now.
And it also ought to be said that we've had decades of experience with price controls in Medicare, and they haven't worked, at least in terms of slowing the rate of Medicare spending, which I understand recently has been about 8% per year. So we've got both price controls and a failure to control spending, and we're looking at a long-term deficit in Medicare of trillions upon trillions of dollars, I think 38 or 39 trillions of dollars. So as someone who's in the trenches, so to speak, working with some of these most vulnerable patients who ideally we'd like to keep in better health longer because that will help lower their overall health care costs, what alternatives are there out there that we should be considering?
Well, actually, there is a concept out there which I've been advancing for the past few years, which is modeled after the health savings account. I believe that we should let the patients themselves control this bundle of money and decide how they're going to get their drugs. If it's going to be the expensive outpatient drugs, if they think that there's a benefit there, then they will buy them, and they'll have the ability to pay for them out of the bundled payment. So that's one option. And I just wanted to also add that you mentioned about price controls. Not only have they not worked to control costs, it's actually caused costs to rise. And this is very obvious when you look at the year-to-year changes in Medicare rate of inflation. In the periods of time when they have attempted to control costs by controlling the fees paid to doctors, and there are several examples of this. There was the Medicare fee freeze in the mid-80s. There was the transition to the RVRVS system in the early 90s. And again, squeezes on Medicare payments to doctors around the year 2000. And in the years following those interventions, total spending for Medicare increased. And this is well known because the volume of service tends to increase every time they squeeze the payment per procedure. So the volume of service goes up, more people get churned through the system, more tests are ordered, more hospitalizations, more consultations. The whole thing gets revved up, all related to these price controls, and there simply has to be a better way to do it. I think that putting the patient in charge of the funding and making them responsible for decision-making with their physicians, of course, and this implies that the doctors are going to have to spend a lot of time helping patients figure out what's best for them individually, this is the best way to handle the situation long-term.
I think that's a very interesting point, because I think that what you're saying is that when CMS has tamped down on prices, providers have understandably responded by upcoding or using more expensive services to make up for the lost revenues. So you've got a blinding array of cross subsidies going throughout the system that make it much more irrational and tend to drive up costs over time and discourage the very kind of productivity and innovation you'd really like to see in the system.
That's exactly right. When the bundle that was never increased was being dealt with by the providers, of course that led to more money being spent in other areas, and it's not a miracle that these companies started to see the drug sales as a way to make extra money. There's the necessity to make profits to stay in business.
One last thought before we sign off here. The Medicare actuary, Richard Foster, I understand some weeks ago, pointed out that perhaps as many as 1 in 5 Medicare providers might drop out of the program as a result of the payment cuts in the system. There are already a number of physicians and providers who don't accept current Medicare payment rates. The Mayo Clinic, which has been held up as a poster child for effective integrated care by the Obama administration, has actually said, at least for its one of its Arizona offices, that it's no longer accepting Medicare patients. Where do you think we're going to go? Assuming this legislation passes, do you think there will be a revolt that will force Washington to rethink how it's approaching the problem?
I do, and I think that doctors are going to be very reluctant to participate in a program that is going to be Medicare redux. I believe also that dialysis units will go out of business if this thing goes through as planned. I believe that even the large chains, which have a lot of buffering capacity, if you will, are going to be in trouble. And this could conceivably set the stage for a government takeover of the dialysis industry, which is a multi-billion-dollar industry in country. It is almost de facto nationalized now with the degree of micromanagement of dialysis. But they would literally take over some of these large dialysis companies if they show signs of financial instability.
A sobering thought. My only hope is that both patients and American physicians are too independent-minded to watch that kind of massive government encroachment remake the medical landscape and put patients at risk. Dr. Amberling, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.